Yes, sir.
Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one true God, whom all praise is due, the Lord of the world, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and in the name of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, his last and greatest messenger, and in the name of the divine reminder, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I greet the host and our listening audience and the panel in the greeting words of peace of Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to this edition of Put on the New Man, the Friday night live study group hosted by our beloved brother, student minister James Muhammad. And sir, I am now going to turn this show over to you.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the worlds. We can never thank Almighty God Allah enough for making himself known and appearing in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi, and raising up from our midst his Messiah, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, through whom we have been given, really blessed to be given a wonderful Redeemer, Deliverer, Reformer, and Divine Warner in the person of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is to these men, and particularly him, that I am deeply grateful and highly honored for the great privilege to be able to stand and to defend these men on the basis of truth. And I thank Allah for them both. I thank Allah for my life, which I would not have if it were not for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I greet you, my dear brothers, as well as the listening audience and online audience, with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir.
I want to thank Brother Kareem Muhammad and my beloved brother Eddie X for being on the show, for assisting us this evening with engineering, as well as their posture of interview or interviewer. Thank you, dear brothers. And so let us begin by the grace of Allah. I also, before I go on, I have to thank our beloved Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad for this wonderful platform and forum that she has extended to us to share the message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and in this critical hour, stand and defend that man and the truth that he represents. So thank you, dear Queen, and we look forward to you joining us very, very soon.
No.
So let us begin. I'd like to open up by saying or stating the obvious. For those of you who are members of the Twitter family and members of the Facebook family and members perhaps of the Instagram family, the social media in general, you have witnessed a plethora and a barrage of attacks against our beloved minister, particularly since he embarked upon this 52-week series lectures of the time and what must be done. Certainly he has always been the object of controversy, vitriol, and he's been excoriated in the press. Certainly that's been, unfortunately, his burden, and of course ours. But it has sincerely and truly been escalated since he initiated these lecture series. And we're not surprised. We know why. Because of his bold exposure and revelation of that one who has been hiding under the mask of falsehood, misinformation, disinformation, and deceit. And that is Satan himself. And so any one of us who declare ourselves as members of the Nation of Islam, or declare ourselves as supporters and sympathizers with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, it is now our responsibility to come from behind our doors, if such we are, to come out in the open and stand with this man and not just whisper our support of him and our defense of him, but stand and boldly, as he is standing and boldly expressing the revelation of Satan, we too must stand boldly and openly and with passion express the truth of the satanic synagogue of Satan and the veracity of the minister's message. There is, again, a plethora of information supporting the truth of what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been teaching, and we're going to express that truth, and some of it, much of it, will be not just from us, who are members of the nation and sincere followers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. This truth will come forward from their own scholars and rabbis and journalists and representatives of organizations and Hollywood moguls. Allah has forced them to manifest the truth in their words against themselves. So I want to begin now. And dear brothers, I understand that there'll be some questions that you're going to pose to us. And we are ready, by the help of Allah, by the grace of Allah, we will respond. So go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Well, Brother Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Walaikum salam, sir. I do have a few questions to help guide us along, as Sister Aziza has requested. If that'll be okay, I'll go ahead and proceed then.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
All right. The first question, I'd like to talk well about the first thing the minister actually brought up in part 20 of the time of what must be done past Saturday, concerning the recent passing of the grandson of former minister Malcolm X, young Malcolm Shabazz. And he talked about his growth in the struggle for liberation of not only black people, but which eventually branches into poor and oppressed people all over the world, and his growth towards whom his father was. If anybody ever saw it in the pictures of him, he would often emulate those great images of Brother Malcolm X that we all know, that have come down through history. And what do you, Brother James, would believe is the significance of this? Why would this brother fight his other family member, Sister Kubila? Why must they target him? You know, what path would he have been on if he had been allowed to live? And how do you think that path would have related to us? And would he have come back? Do you think he would have branched back to Minister Farrakhan and bridged that gap with him and continue to grow? Where do you think he would have been? You know, as the devil always seeks to kill us before we become of age, figuratively and literally speaking. So what do you think he would have become if he was allowed to continue on?
Well, I'm sure, brother, I cannot say ultimately what path he would have arrived at or what he would have become. However, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan states, and he stated it in this installment, the 20th installment of the lecture series, he said, the same FBI that hatched the plot to divide Brother Malcolm from his teacher and the Nation of Islam, that same FBI that worked to destroy black organizations and black leadership is the same FBI that was dogging the footsteps of this young potential giant. Though he had a troublesome youth, he was growing more and more into the spirit of his grandfather as a warrior for justice of our people. And so, as he was growing, if he would have remained, if Allah had permitted, that he would have remained true to the path that he was on, I believe that path would have ultimately led to a union with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because truth unites with truth. Those who have a sincere heart of struggle, no matter what ideology they may come from, that sincere struggle for freedom, justice, and equality for the oppressed masses of black, brown, red, and yellow, white people, or any ethnicity, and all over the world, those on those paths would ultimately meet and unite. That is my belief. But as Allah permitted it, this was not to be so.
Yes, sir. Well, Allah, we know by the teaching in the Holy Quran that he uses the life and the death of his servants to guide the people. You know, if anything else, it should remind us that this is the same enemy, you know, that was, as the minister said, the same enemy that plotted against his father, reminding us it is the same enemy that he was, that he is now against his sons. If my reaction that I've heard from either myself and other people is that, you know, this is just, he represents their plot against us as black youth in general, but especially those who would seek to have a voice. But I definitely agree with that. if it is all right, I'll continue on here with my next question and topic of discussion on the time what must be done. The Iniesta, we know in his last few series, he's been really going, as he said, going hard, going strong, chasing down Goliath, pointing out this synagogue of Satan, pulling out the enemy. You know, he's no longer holding back. He's really naming the names. You know, he's been doing that, but the fashion which he's doing is so very, very aggressive. And it really, really embodies the idea of this showdown. I want to ask, he talks about the two verses, in the Holy Quran, in the Surah of the Cow, and it talks about the favor. If I may read briefly the first verses 47 to 48, O children of Israel, call to mind my favor, which I bestowed on you, and that I made you excel the nations, and guard yourselves against the day when no soul will avail another in the least. Neither will intercession be accepted on its behalf, nor will compensation be taken from it, nor will they be helped. But if you can, and this is for my personal study into this, and I think we can all take from this, can you go into why opening up with these verses, this backdrop, is relevant to understanding what he's doing with this synagogue of Satan, or understanding who they are?
Absolutely. There is nothing or no one living today of any consequence that has not already been recorded in both books of Scripture, the Bible and the Quran. These are not only historical books or books of historical references, they are prophetic books, and they warn us and guide us as to what is to occur in particular stages of our development as a people, and what is to occur particularly in the spectrum or down the wheel of time. And so, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan points out in that particular Quranic ayat that the Jews were favored, those who were called Jews. They were favored. And the fact that God did favor them cannot be denied in the manifestation of their inordinate representation. Well, I would say unequaled representation in the halls of power in every sphere of human endeavor, in science, in economics, medicine.
Go ahead.
It cannot be denied that they have reached the pinnacle of these pursuits in life more so than anyone else. So they were favored. But Allah tells them in that same ayat, call to mind my favor which I bestowed on you, and be faithful to your covenant with me. I shall fulfill my covenant with you. Well, what was the covenant that the children of Israel entered into with Almighty God Allah? That is, they will obey his laws, rules, regulations, and statutes that were given to them by Moses, then he would bless them. That is the covenant. And they would have life and have it abundantly.
Go ahead.
And that he did. But now they have broken the covenant and used the divine blessing of Almighty God to suppress the Gentile and other peoples of the earth and exalt themselves as rulers, now even trying to equal up to God. Now, this is not all Jews. It's those Jews who the minister has pointed out are members of the synagogue of Satan. And since they broke their covenant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan now is exposing them, and not only exposing them, but in that exposure, warning them, and not only warning them, but giving them an opportunity to see themselves and make a change and come back to the path that Moses originally put them on. But they don't appear that they're going to heed the warning of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and thus suffer the consequences that are found and mentioned also in that covenant. Cursed be the fruit of your womb. Cursed be you in the marketplace. Cursed be you in your homes. We will see these curses coming upon those who have broken the covenant with God, no matter how highly favored they were. God is not owned by any particular people, and yes, his relationship with people is conditional. Obey him and live. Disobey and die.
Yes, sir, all praise be to Allah. That really brings it to a good light because here are people who really, they have reached the pinnacle. They have reached every, as the minister points out so clearly, they have reached the top of every pyramid of this system's existence. And so there's none, you know, the Quran teaches that none reaches the heights except by Allah's permission. You know,
that's
but they,
right,
of course, have a choice. You know, it always says, we have raised up a people, and we have raised up people before you. You know, many people, there have been people who have been erased from existence. But to continue on that point, the difference between the synagogue of Satan and the good Jews, you know, many, as the minister points out, and we in the Nation of Islam have heard much. You know, I've heard personally we accused of focusing too much on Jewish people or the echelon of the Jewish people, Jewish control. Can you go into that, brother, and talk, give some expounding on the difference between what we mean when we say synagogue or Satan, the difference between the good Jews, and go into why it seems that we have to focus on them, including our books that we have, the research that we have written, quoting Jewish scholars and recent rabbis, and the secret relationship between blacks and Jews 1 and 2. Can you expound on that, Brother Minister Jim?
Well, I must first say, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said in his warning in the conclusion or at the conclusion of installment number 20, he said, you don't know them, the good from the bad, and I don't know them. However, the minister has pointed out that there are those who have forsaken the guidance of the Torah and have authored a book or a series of books entitled the Talmud, written by their own hands, and they're trying to exalt the Talmud to the divine importance and value of the Torah. These are they who have ascended to the pinnacle of success in these various avenues of human life. But again, they have used their success to manipulate the masses of the people, to lie to the masses of the people, to discount and try to destroy the principles of the Torah, and to overcome God. As the scriptures say, they have exalted themselves to be God. God writes a scripture, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said. He sends a revelation, so they trying to equal themselves up to God, they write a so-called revelation. These are the synagogue of Satan, the Abraham Foxmans, the Botox, and the Brackmans, and others, those who lie, those who deceive, those who, through their power in the media and through business and through banking and through politics and their inordinate influence on government, and yes, even the president, use that inordinate influence to lie, cheat, and steal, and murder for their own personal benefit. These are the members of the synagogue of Satan. Remember, Jesus said, the true Jew is not known by the circumcision of the male organ. The true Jew is known by the circumcision of the heart. Well, what does that mean? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan explained that a circumcised organ lifts the extra level, layer of flesh so that dirt and silt and bacteria cannot gather and form on that organ, and it's very easy to clean. Now, this is what he said. He said the circumcised heart means that there's no guile, no deceit, no lying, no insincerity, no hypocrisy, because the true Jew is sincere to God and sincere to his prophets and sincere to the revelations that they brought. This is the true Jew. He honors the statutes, the rules, the regulations, the laws of God given to them by Moses. The true Jew will not accept the Talmud or any other writing as to be equal to or over the messages and revelations that God has given them through Moses.
Oh, praise
so that, I would say that, dear brother. Listen, if the Jews, and I'm talking about those members who say they are Jews, but are not. If they were not at the head of these avenues of life, if they were not at the head of Hollywood, if they were not at the head of banking, if they were not at the head of economics, if they were not at the head of politics, then we wouldn't be talking about them. But we have to look at the condition of the world, particularly as it relates to the part that the only remaining superpower in the world plays. If there is an unequaled and unmeasured and oppressive foreign policy that is being enforced by America, and it favors Israel, that tiny state of Israel, then we have to call them out. If economically the masses of the people, black, brown, red, and yellow, and even poor whites are suffering, living, many of them living, or many of us living below the poverty level, while these corporate fat cats become rich, we have to look at those that are on top. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that whenever there is disease or illness in the body, you don't look necessarily to the body, you look to the head. Because it is in the head, and it's poor leadership of the body, it's poor care of the body that causes the body to be in this condition. So when we look at the masses and their economic plight, when we look at the masses and the plight of the poor people in the world, when we look at the masses and we see so much disparity between white and black, when we look at the masses and look at the unemployment level in America, when we look at the masses and see that America has more convicts in jail than any other country, when we look at the condition of America, the richest country in the world, and we find 15 million or more living under bridges and living in tunnels and in subway stations and on tracks and in the street, when we look at this condition, we can't blame the body, we must blame the head. And if they are at the head, then they cannot escape exposure. And this is why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, this is a warning to you, but it is a grace and a mercy to you. You have a chance to change. But how can they change if the wrong is not pointed out and then acknowledged? And so the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, like a loving Jewish mother who sees her children in error, Out of love, he points out their error, so, or she points out their error, so perhaps they can change and get back on the right course. Well, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is doing the same for the Jews, but they hate him pointing out the truth of them. They hate their exposure, and this goes to their intention not to change. They don't desire to change. They don't desire to be in accord with Allah God, with Jehovah, or with the law and revelation of Moses. They don't intend to do that. They intend to rule the world at the expense of the masses of the world. Well, their day is coming. In fact, their day is here. And it begins with the revelation, the bold revelation and exposure of Satan, as it is written in the scriptures. That day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and the man of sin, not the spirit of sin, not the spook of sin, not the mysterious ethereal being of sin, but the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And so they must be exposed. Thank you. Are you there?
Yes, sir. I'll please do so. Forgive me. I have my
okay. I've concluded that point, brother. There was some silence. I was wondering what happened.
Yes, sir. No, sir. I had my phone on mute while I was moving about, but I'm right there with you. Actually, hit right on the chapter and verse that came to mind as you were speaking, and then you quoted 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, which leads to my next question that is often comes up, I think, or should come up in discussion of why. Why is it so important for Satan, the synagogue of Satan, these Jewish powers, these pseudo-Jewish powers to hide who they are? You know, we know through history that they've put on such a facade of being the victims of every people. But why must they hide? And why is it such a task to bring them out? Why does that make it a great day to bring them out? Why do they stay hidden and stay behind the closed doors as the Satan? Or even just being, not even being known as Satan, they really deny being in control of anything at all. Now, you would often think, and this is just a question, you know, that if you're the head of something, you would be proud of that. But they, Abe Foxman and the ADL, actually refute them being in control of anything. Why is it that they have to hide their control?
Well, very simply, brother, if I was guilty of the heinous crimes that they're guilty of and have been guilty of ever since the formulation of the ADL in 1913, and that's an interesting point that I'd like to get back to at some time, but I would want to hide too. I wouldn't want to be exposed because I'm trying to escape the consequences of my exposure. Remember, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that for the most part, if Satan is revealed, the people will fall away from him. And so he doesn't want to be revealed. And he doesn't want the people to fall away from him. He wants to keep his control over the masses of the people because his job is to take as many people as he can down to the well-deserved hell that he has earned. He knows his time is short. He knows he's not going to win this fight. Yet he wants to deceive the masses of the people so that the masses of the people will stay with him and fall with him. He wants to take as many as he can down with him. So certainly he's going to hide. He doesn't
yes,
want
sir.
To suffer the consequences of exposure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. And I want to remind those who are listening to please join in and ask questions and join this discussion. I'm most certainly sure that Brother Minister James would not mind hearing from anyone other than myself. But I do thank you for your patience, brother, as I come through this with you. The next thing I'd like to pose for us to talk about would be this power that this synagogue of Satan has, because this is what the minister is really pointing out for us in number 20, and those of us who have not heard it, please go back and listen. He goes through listing the control they've had in the media through Hollywood. What are the ramifications of a people, I'm trying to give us some perspective, what are the ramifications of a people having this level of control? Can you give us some understanding of what this actually does when a small few own such a level of influence that impacts us on every level of our life and every level in society? What are the ramifications of this, and why and how that makes it important that we know who has this control?
Well, it's not necessarily the point that there are a few who exercise a great deal of power, influence, and control. That has its dangers, but that's not the point. The point is, how do you do it? How you use your power, your influence, and your control? If you use it for the benefit of those whom you exercise influence over and exercise control of, then there's nothing wrong with that. If it's for the benefit of the masses of the people, and more importantly, in obedience to the Lord of the world, Almighty God, Allah Himself. But when you use your control, your inordinate influence and power, and you use it to the detriment of the masses, the enslavement and inordinate rulership and oppression of the masses of the people, therein lies the point, dear brother. So it's
yes,
not
sir.
Necessarily the point, again, that there's a few ruling many. No.
Yes.
The point is how you rule.
Yes, sir. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said in power that he had in the, I believe it was the late 80s, he said it is not the problem with the Jews, it is their inordinate control and the way they use their control.
Absolutely. Go ahead, brother, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir, absolutely true, and that actually follows us with what the minister has been telling us, and not just telling us now, but what he's been telling us. We are not against the Jewish people, but we are against those who, as Paul said, those who say they are Jews, but they are not. And I do believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, brother, if they had used any other title, then we would expose them in that title as well. But
absolutely. Listen, let me show you from the Quran how balanced Allah God is in his judgment. The Bible talks about the synagogue of Satan. And he's referencing, of course, those who say they are Jews and are not. But look at what Allah says in the Quran about Muslims. One second, please.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In the ninth surah, the 107th verse, Allah says, "And I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And those who built a mosque to cause harm to Islam and to help disbelief and to cause disunion among the believers and a refuge for him who made war against Allah and his messenger before." Now he's pointing out those who build a mosque or built a mosque. This is akin to and similar to the synagogue of Satan. So God is no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of religious titles or religious labels, be they Christian, Muslim, Jew, or otherwise. He's concerned about those who are in obedience to him. The real religion of God is not Christianity. It is not Judaism. And it's not even Islam as such. It is obedience to him. Allah says in the Quran, Islam is the nature of God and the nature in which he has created man. And then he says, there is no altering God's creation. That is the right religion. So it's not these titles, these labels as such. It is creation in its unaltered state. And what is the unaltered state of creation? The unaltered state of creation is complete surrender and obedience to the nature in which God created them.
Go ahead. All praise is due to Allah. What I'd like to do, and now that we really discuss the title and why we make this title and this naming, let's go into the meat of what number 20 talks about, and that is pointing some things out. And so let's do some listening. I understand Brother wanted to get back to the point of the establishment of the ADL in 1913. Is that correct? Can you start there?
Yes.
So segue us into that, brother.
Well, yes, and I'll be very brief with it. I believe it was 1913 in Jekyll Island, Georgia. They met the highly placed Jews and others, and this can be read in the book None Dare Call It Conspiracy, which I would suggest everyone try to get a copy of and read. But they met the Rockefellers, the Oppenheimers, and representatives of the Rothschild family. They met, and on that fateful day, and in that fateful meeting, they decided the origination, the architecture of both the ADL, the FBI, and the IRS. Now, what is the significance of both of all three of them being originated together, started together? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says the IRS, because the IRS would be an arm of control of those who manipulate the money powers in the world. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
And while they offered the graduated tax system under the mask of benefiting the poor so that the rich could be taxed, they didn't mention that they would create loopholes through which the rich could escape paying taxes. And the graduated tax and the burden of it is borne by the poor today. Now, the FBI. The FBI is the arm for the component of law enforcement. The FBI is responsible of doing some good, of course, but their purpose is to be dispatched against those who come against those who manipulate the money powers of the world and break all of the laws with impunity. And then the ADL. The ADL was developed along with the FBI and the IRS because they knew that many of those that would rise to the pinnacles of power would be those responsible for the manipulation of the money powers, the political powers, the economic powers, and yes, even the religious expression segment of the world.
Go ahead.
They knew they would be members of the so-called Jews. So the ADL was formed. to serve as the defending arm of these members of the synagogue of Satan. They had it locked in, brother. They had this plan long before the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was even born.
Okay. And brothers and sisters,
this is to tell you who that man is.
Go ahead.
See, God is not mocked. As a man soweth, so shall he reap. Huh?
Yes, sir.
You sow the wind and you reap the whirlwind. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was in the mind of God long before these Jews or so-called Jews ever existed. He was in the mind and the plan of God, and it was just a matter of time. In the fullness of time that God would bless the womb of a magnificent woman with a divine baby Jesus. You can take it or let it alone. I'm not talking about a Mary of 2,000 years ago or a Jesus of 2,000 years ago. I am talking about the modern Mary and the modern Jesus, Blessed Mother Samaya, the mother of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the closest thing to Jesus you'll ever find on this earth.
Yeah, yes, sir, that's right. That's right.
And I would take any challenge, arrogant. But I will meet with the help of Allah and the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his message. Anyone that would want to challenge me on those statements. This is why it's so easy to defend him. All I have to do is read what Jesus said when the same enemy came at him, and it's chronicled and recorded in both Bible and Quran. So it's easy to defend him, not that he needs any defense, but it is our obligation to defend him.
Yes, sir. You, brother, have hit on actually one of the questions I wanted to get to. So I guess a lot of let's go, matter of fact, right to it. What is the responsibility of us, not only those of us who are registered believers and active followers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, but all of us, especially as black people and any people who hear this teaching, who have heard time of what must be done and are following this series and hearing this teaching and hearing this revelation, what is our responsibility and what should we be doing upon hearing such a great and weighty word that really does open up the eyes of the time? How should our behavior and our lives be changed by this?
Well, our responsibility is to obey the word. And our responsibility is to do what I am attempting to do by the grace of Almighty God, Allah, is to stand up and speak on behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the truth that he represents and the Nation of Islam. That's our responsibility. Don't say you're with him and then be mute. When forces come against him, don't say you're with him and then begin to stutter when someone questions you about your possible connection with the minister and the Nation of Islam. Hell no. We have the responsibility to speak boldly. And if we speak boldly, as the scripture says, O messenger, deliver the message. And if thou do it not, thou art not my messenger. But if thou do it, I will protect you from men. Well, it is that same protection that we who are willing in our small sphere, in ratio, in proportion, to stand like the minister is standing, we too will have that same protection. I believe I have that protection if it pleases Allah, and this is why I speak the way I speak. I know that the enemy is listening to me. I know that my phone has been bugged, and for those of you who talk with me on a daily basis, rest assured, whatever you have said has been recorded, but what can I do about that, and why should I worry about that? If I'm representing the God and he allows them to come against me, then it's better that they come against me than to come against the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Who am I and who are you that we should hold our lives and our freedom and our comfort at such value and sacrifice these things, or rather sacrifice our responsibility on the altar of fear? I'm not a brave person. I'm not saying that. But this man saved my life. If it were not for him, I would have no life. I'm not talking spiritual. I'm talking physical life. I wouldn't have a family. I would never have a voice to speak or even words to speak of any consequence that anyone would listen.
Go ahead.
As we say in the hood, brother, please. And there's another word to that, but I'm not using that.
Yes, sir. I believe we understand completely.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And I have to say as well that, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad many years ago gave him a speech to give, on this man have I laid the key.
That's right.
Minister Farrakhan teaches us that it wasn't until years later that he understood that he was the man.
That's
on
right.
Whom he had laid the key. He would ask the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and help me with quoting this, but he would say to him, I'll raise mine eyes to the hills. From whence shall my help come? If I'm saying that accurately. But he's asking, from whence would his help come? Who would be the man that would carry him on into the modern time? And that man is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He is the man. When we look at him, we see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we see the master who is guiding and working through him, Master Farad Muhammad the Great, Mahdi of the Muslims and Messiah of the Christians.
Yes.
That you can go back and read in what the Muslims believe in the back of your Final Call newspaper. So we should all have that same fervor and be proud to represent and to live in the same time as a man like Farrakhan. Minister Ava Muhammad said in a speech many years back, she said that Minister Farrakhan is a man made by time. A man like him has not existed and will never exist again. He is made for this great time. So we should be thankful to exist in a day where this man is being made to stand up against the greatest and most powerful enemy that we have ever seen, and he is doing it seemingly with ease to us. He is outworking us. He is out speaking us, out walking us, out teaching us, and he is our guide and example. So it is up to us to do whatever we can with whatever we have to back this man, support this man, and repeat and carry out the message that he is bringing to us from the Christ and an anointed and appointed work. But let us.
Well, that's right, brother. But before we go on, you made the statement that we should see the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Yes, we should. But unfortunately, many of us don't.
Yes, sir.
And those who don't are the ones you read of on Facebook and on Twitter and other social media, that he's deviating from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his teachings.
Yes, sir.
We don't see him because we think that starting and finishing looks like the same or looks the same.
Go ahead.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is not to repeat what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad did. He is to complete his work. And completion looks different from incompletion.
Teach.
These who say they're with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but they're not with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. That's exactly like saying, I love the fruit. Or I love the tree, but I don't like the fruit that the tree bears.
Clear. Go ahead.
Please.
Yes, sir. Not we.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Let's get into, if you don't mind, let's get into more of the time and what must be done.
Yes,
but
sir.
But go right ahead, dear brother. Yes, sir.
We, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan goes into some specific examples, which I believe in this next hour I would like us to get into, about their control in the media.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to read a small section from the transcript, which you can read in the last week's paper, The Final Call, last week's edition of The Final Call newspaper.
Yes.
Rather, this week's edition. It says, and when we speak of the Jewish people controlling Hollywood, in an article written by Los Angeles Times columnist Joel Stein, titled How Jewish is Hollywood? December 19, 2008, he stated, only 22% of Americans now believe the movie and television industries are pretty much run by Jews, down from nearly 50% in 1964. The Anti-Defamation League, which released the poll results November 14th of the same year, sees in these numbers as a victory against stereotyping. Actually, it just shows how dumb America has gotten. Jews totally run Hollywood. It was the Anti-Defamation League that took credit for the way the American public had changed their thinking. This is because they do not want you to come to grips with the knowledge that they are in total control of Hollywood. Now, this is a very strong statement. Not made by him, but quoted by one of their own people in the media. Let's look at an example that he goes into. One, I think, which, forgive me, a lot of believers find an uncomfortable title to speak about because we don't engage in this, but the porn industry, pornography, this sexual deviance, it is brought and it is fathered, parented by the Jewish-controlled media. It was a Jewish man who was known as the mogul of the porn industry. His name was I cannot recall his name, brother James. I cannot remember it. It's in the please read. And those who have not, please read the article. But look at the sexual degeneracy. You know, Obama has done a lot of work to please the Jewish lobby, and he references in Part 20 of The Time of What Must Be Done. Is this why he's the first president to openly announce his support for homosexual or gay marriages? Look at the sexual degeneracy of America. Let's read a quick quote. From The Time of What Must Be Done again. According to our research, the website Judaism Online contains a list that presents only the most outstanding, well-recognized Jews in the American media. I would also like to point out that according to the Lichter-Rothman poll in the 1980s, it was found that top Jewish media executives were overwhelmingly liberal and were radically out of step with the moral values of the American public. Please think on that. And of these liberal Jews, 97% affirm a woman's right to an abortion if she pleases. 80% disagree that homosexuality is wrong. 86% believe that homosexuals have the right to be school teachers. 51% believe that adultery is permissible. And of 104 top executives polled, 59% were raised in the Jewish religion. Who can deny such Jewish domination of big media? Brother, can you talk about this for a moment and go into how this is, as the Honorable Elijah Honorable Mr. Farrakhan pointed out years ago before, right before the Donahue interview, where he said that this is using the good name of religion to shield your dirty practice. Can you go into that, brother?
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
So just real quick, according to their own sources,
yes, sir,
the pornographic film industry started in 1895, and the two earliest pioneers were Eugene Perrault and Albert Kirchner.
Thank you, brother.
No problem. Now I'm going to back on out.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, Brother Kareem. And listen, dear family, the minister, like no other person, has pointed out the reality of their involvement, not only involvement, but influence and absolute rulership of these spheres of life in the media and in the porn industry. In fact, at this same website wherein he delivers his lectures on the time and what must be done, there is a link that you can click on and go right to a list that shows you what Jews were in leadership in media and in the pornographic world. So, look, let's go to what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said. You know, dear brother, it's difficult for me to give my exegesis. I'm only going to say what he said, but I have what he said written in front of me, so why don't I just save time and go right to what he said?
Yes, sir.
Hey, he states, I'll start from here. But does it matter who dominates the media? It does. Look, the media shapes not only our children's values and actions, but our own. Jewish media has normalized sexual degeneracy, profanity, and all kinds of sin. It also leads us into war to make the Middle East safe for Israel. This happened in Afghanistan, Iraq, and tomorrow, maybe, Iran. If an anti-Christian agenda were being advanced by the followers of Sun Myung Moon, the Unification Church, or Scientologists, the Church of Scientology, dominating the most powerful positions of media leadership in America, there would be a howl of protest. But they, the synagogue of Satan, dominate, and they are leading America into the moral ditch of hell. And guess what? The minister writes, Vice President Joe Biden, speaking on Tuesday, May 21st, 2013, at the Jewish American Heritage Month reception hosted by the Democratic National Committee, said that the Jews are responsible for changing the sexual attitudes of the American people. They are responsible for the attitudes that are changing toward same-sex marriage. Is this why President Obama is the first president in the history of this nation to sanction same-sex marriage? So this is the minister's words, dear brother, and it's good that we repeat them and recite them and read them so that there'll be no influence of our own misunderstanding. And when you ask me about these things, brother, I have to rely and refer to what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said. Look at what he said about the subject matter you brought up. Under the subtitle, The Jews Who Run the American Porn Industry. Well, I think it's time for us to delve into the last thing I want to state. In the winter 2004 edition of the Jewish Quarterly Periodical, number 196, a Jewish man by the name of Nathan Abrams wrote an article titled Triple Ethnics, Nathan Abrams on Jews in the American Porn Industry. Mr. Abrams states, Early Jewish pornographers were marketing geniuses and ambitious entrepreneurs whose toughness, intelligence, and boundless self-confidence were responsible for the successes, of course, for their successes. Of course, the large number of Jews in porn were mainly motivated by the desire to make profits. And the next part, he quotes Abraham Foxman, the national director of the Anti-Defamation League, who says, "Those Jews who entered the pornography industry have done so as individuals pursuing the American dream. Mr. Foxman, you mean you would not condemn those of your brethren who are feeding the American public this degenerate pornography?" Mr. Abrams continues, "Jewish involvement in porn by this argument is the result of an atavistic hatred of Christian authority." Listen to this. "They are trying to weaken the dominant culture in America by moral subversion. The term atavistic means happening because of a very old habit from a long time ago in human history. Not because of a conscious decision or because it is necessary now." Then he quotes Rabbi Al Goldstein, a publisher and pornographer, in his article, "The only reason that Jews are in pornography is that we think that Christ sucks. Can you imagine? Catholicism sucks. We don't believe in authoritarianism. Pornography thus becomes a way of defiling Christian culture, and as it penetrates to the very heart of the American mainstream and is no doubt consumed by those very same white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, or WAPs, the acronym is spelled, its subversive character becomes more charged." Wow, a large amount of the material on sexual liberation was written by Jews, those at the forefront of the movement which forced America to adopt a more liberal view of sex were Jewish. Now, if anyone denies it, go to that website and pull up that list and you'll see who was at the top of the pornographic industry or the pornography industry. You'll see. "It is not for you to condemn the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for what he says of the truth. It is for you to research what he says and see if what he says is backed up by authoritative truth. Don't come out against the minister because you know that's what would please your slave master. We detest these Uncle Toms, both white and black. We detest those who immediately run out and attack the minister and the Nation of Islam without research, without verification. Just sick 'em, dog. And we go out like the slave master's trained dog." This has been the history of black leaders throughout our history or sojourn here in America. The enemy has always been able to trot out some Uncle Tom Negro to denounce what true leadership is saying and attempting to lead the people to. But it won't work today. It will not work today. You dealing with a new kind of black man. And I'm talking about my young brothers and sisters who are represented in this small but growing and powerful and passionate group called the Defenders of Farrakhan. These young brothers and sisters, they ain't taking no shorts. And they're not concerned with any potential consequence that they might suffer because of their bold defense of the truth and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And if you knew anything about scripture and prophecy, you would have known that these men and women, these young men and women, were on the way. Well, they're here now. And when I say young, I'm not talking about biologically young as such. That too. But I'm talking about those who are young in spirit and in heart. I'm 64 years old, but I consider myself a young man because I'm of that spirit to fight and war against the wiles of Satan and to stand on behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the truth that he speaks and the warning that he delivers, regardless to the consequences. I know it's easy to say, but I pray to Allah that when the time comes, that I will not flinch and that I will be true to the words that I speak. But let's go on. Let's go on, dear brother. Sometimes I get a little passionate.
Sir.
Let's go on.
Yes, sir. Well,
it comes
one moment, brother. We've got two questions for you, brother, from the audience.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, so we're going to... All right, let me... All right, hey, yes, area code 615, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum, family. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam, dad's a soldier. Just talking about you, brother.
Yes, sir. I have two questions for you, beloved. One,
yes, sir.
Is...
Would you tell the people who you are there, brother? Not that you need
yes,
any
sir.
Introduction, but tell the people
yes,
who
sir.
You are.
I'm Brother Maurice Muhammad, leader of the Defenders of Farrakhan.
Alhamdulillah.
And my two questions are, since Alicia Keys is going to Israel to perform over there, and I know we've sent out messages and others have sent out messages to her, telling her, you know, asking her not to do this. And so far, she's still going ahead and doing it. Stevie Wonder pulled out when he was supposed to do it. We're still waiting to see what she would do. But since people know that these people were put out of almost every country they were into, that they went into, why is it hard for people to really just stand up and say no to this small group of people? That's the first question. The second question is, why is it hard for some of us as registered Muslims to understand that this is a day of separation and that everybody is not going to get along? You know, everybody is not, for instance, you know, we had to put some people out of the group today because they felt that because Harry Belafonte is an icon and he can't be criticized or he can't be shown up for what he is once he go against the minister. He is called the minister anti-Semitic. He is called the minister a fool. And, you know, so we called him out for doing those things, but then you have believers who had the nerve to say that we were wrong and we shouldn't have done that because he's an icon. Why isn't it that they're getting the message that he's on the other side of the fence, regardless of whether he's an icon or not? Thank you, sir.
Well, yes, Brother Maurice. Again, these people exercise so much influence and control in the entertainment industry. And oftentimes when these entertainers, black or white, of any note or fame or notoriety, if they happen to go against these who are in control, then there's a great potential that they will close down their centers of distribution for their records and for their music. They can stop them from having the concerts that they perform in. There's a number of things that they can do. And many have gotten used to a lifestyle that the tremendous amounts of money has afforded them, so they don't wish to take that responsibility. Then there are those who don't view the enemy because their eyes as an enemy. Their eyes are jaundiced. See, this is what the enemy does. He raises a few of the crabs out of the crab barrel And when they're standing outside of the crab battle they were once in, looking at the other crabs scrappling with each other to try to get out of the barrel, they say, I don't want to go back in there. So the one who took them out of the crab barrel warns them. Either you go along to get along, but and if not, as I am the one that took you out of the crab barrel, I am also the one that could put you back in.
Huh.
Is that my sister? I know you're from. Is that my sister?
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, my God.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, my beloved sister and queen, Aziza Mariam Muhammad. Good to hear your voice.
Wa alaikum salam, my dear brother. I'm just listening to all of you and all of the questions, and Brother Maurice hit a profound question, and I'm just waiting to hear the rest of the answer. And you teaching hard, brother, and I know you getting hot over there. He about to come out of his seat, y'all.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, and, well, Brother Maurice, that's one of the driving forces that cause our people to do that, which is not necessarily morally right or necessarily right in terms of the time and what must be done because of their inordinate control and also their inordinate fear that many of those who have rose to great fame and fortune and riches and wealth as a result of the wonderful gifts and talents that Almighty God Allah has blessed them with. So what was the next question, dear brother? I might be having a senior moment, Brother Maurice. Could you repeat the next question, dear brother?
Yes, sir. That next one was dealing with us as believers. We had an incident today in the group, and we had to put some believers out. We had to put two of them out. Because they wanted to, did not, I don't know whether to say did not or didn't want to, but Harry Belafonte has called Minister Farrakhan an anti-Semite, has called him a fool, and also has come out and on a Tavis Smiley event and gave his opinion, which, he, of course, he's entitled to do, but the minister was referring to where he was saying, you know, let the house burn. And Harry Belafonte was like, well, no, you know, we'll be fools if we let the house burn. We need to be firemen and put the fire out. So, you know, his message was different from the minister's. And we were saying that this is a day of separation. And everybody is not going to get along. And there's only one ideal that's going to make it. There's only one answer to our success, and that answer is what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us, and anything outside of that is not going to be successful. Why is it hard for believers, for some believers, to get that understood regardless of whether the person is an icon or a regular person, but they still want to make it all like, oh, we can all get along and go along, when we understand that that's a clear opposition to Minister Farrakhan?
Well, dear brother, they obviously are not following their example. You know, God says in the Bible, Allah says in the Bible, He is no respecter of persons. And He's not concerned with the wealth or notoriety of any particular person whom He has created. He's not moved by that, and neither is God's man. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is very respectful and loving of Brother Harry and others who may have said disparaging remarks against him, but he's no respecter of their acclaim, no respecter of their fame. He'll call them out and check them and correct them and chide them and reprimand them when it's called for, when their actions are called for. And all praise is due to Allah. You know, I was listening to the lecture, well, not the lecture, but the interview that was being conducted on the Cliff Kelly show wherein the minister was dealing with the statements that he made. This was when Tavis Smiley had offered, he and others, the covenant with America, and it was in the State of Black America address or conference, and the minister said that that Martin Luther King Jr. did make this statement. Harry Belafonte bore witness. He did say, I think that I may be inviting my people into a burning house. And so the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, well, yes, and maybe we should let it burn. Now, what did he mean by that? He was saying the systems, policies, and those underlying and overriding white supremacists, black inferiority policies that have been ruling every sphere of every American institution, in education, in economics, and in politics. The whole system can't be reformed. It needs to be destroyed. He wasn't talking about necessarily burn the physical country. He was talking about as burning will destroy that which is in the flame, then these systems, these institutional racist doctrines and paradigms need to die a natural death. And new paradigms in education, new paradigms in politics, new paradigms in economics need to be allowed to flourish. They would come up out of the ashes, even as the phoenix rises, the mythical phoenix rises up out of the ashes. He was saying, let the systems die. And why would you want to uphold an oppressive system that has demonstrated its hatred and its oppression and discrimination of you as a people? You know, Brother Maurice, how long are we going to continue to weigh in, to pray in, to sit in, to march, to cry, to beg, to grovel at the feet of the enemy, begging for him to change? This is why it is so important that the minister teaches on the nature of the enemy.
That's right.
Because the nature of the enemy, of the enemy will not permit him to change.
Yeah.
Can't you see that? Those of you who are of that mindset, he's not going to change.
Right.
So the minister, realizing this and trying to get you to realize it, said, let it burn.
That's right.
So that a new paradigm in all of these spheres or spheres of life can rise up out of the ashes. Those of you who are Christian, and I'm sure Harry Belafonte is a Christian, and others that were on the days with the minister were Christian. Did not you read in your book, behold, I make all things new?
Right.
Then what are you trying to hold on to the old for? Why are you trying to save the old? They're so sold to the enemy, Brother Maurice. They're so sold to the idea that if the enemy is not included, then we can't be successful. That's a slave mentality, brother.
Yes, sir.
And that mentality is pervasive from the bottom to the top.
That's right.
All praise is due to Allah, man.
So I'll stop there, Brother Maurice. Wonderful to hear your voice, dear brother. And if any of the soldiers are listening along with you, I want to give you a shout out, tell you how much I love you, compliment you on the wonderful way you represented the minister and demonstrated your love and defense of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan last night. It was fantastic.
Absolutely.
May Allah continue to bless you. Thank
you,
Brother Maurice.
Thank you, sir.
Praise be to Allah.
All right, we have another question, area code 973.
Wow, is it really 924 already?
Yes, 925. Not area code 973,
the mic is live. Yes, sir, salam
alaikum. Well, salam.
How does family feel? How does everybody feel?
Fine, by Allah's grace, on top of the world, brother.
Yeah, you know, it's actually a blessing to hear you guys actually give me a better insight of how to defend the minister properly, because I know there's a lot of ways of defending the minister when basically if he's backed by Almighty God, he doesn't need no defense from us. But, you know, it just makes me feel good to hear how to defend the minister properly with the right proper teaching. But a question that I have is, how do a brother, a young brother like myself, you know, who's just getting started within the ministry, or just getting started to try to learn the proper way of how to minister to our people, how do I prepare to live my life right with the restrictive laws? Because the restrictive laws is kind of hard for some of us who's just getting started. I don't know, you know, how I should put this. The proper way.
That's a good question, brother. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. How do I, you know, stay strong with the restrictive laws? Because I know a lot of elders that I speak to, they tell me about, you know, the first, and they tell me about how, you know, they used to be and the things they used to do in the nation. And then I look at the way they live their lives now, it doesn't reflect the nation of Islam that I know. So I don't want to get to that point. So I'm asking, you know, what could a young man like myself do to stay strong with the restricted laws other than just prayer?
Yes, sir, dear brother. I can only recommend what Allah says in the Quran, that the remembrance of Him is the greatest force against evil. Secondly, dear brother, surround yourself with those of a like mind, those who are striving to be right, and observe the restrictive law, brother.
Yes, sir.
Because in numbers, when you're attempting to be right in Satan's world, that kind of mutual companionship, you can draw from each other strength that you may not have by yourself.
Yes, sir.
Cut off, brother, if I may I'm sorry, go ahead, brother.
No, sir. You may continue.
Yes, sir. Cut off your friends who are in that kind of behavior until you're strong enough to go back to them and bring them out or fish them out of the sea of sin. Invite them to the mosque or study group, but you don't find yourself hanging out with them.
Right.
Knowing their mindset and knowing what they're going to engage in. You have to cut yourself off from that, dear brother.
Yes, sir.
You see, sometimes, and I'm not saying, of course, this is you, but sometimes because of the affinity that we have developed, the loyalty we have developed with our, you know, our friends, our brothers, or those who say it's my dog, you know, just to speak the language. You know, it's hard for us to cut off ties and relationships. But this is what you must do if you're trying to be right, brother, in Satan's world.
Yes, sir.
You see, that's what I would suggest, dear brother. And don't be so hard on yourself. If you slip and fall, get back up. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Brother James, if may God I make is, a suggestion as well?
Sister, you can do whatever you so choose.
Go right ahead. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to tell the brother, you know, because, you know, being 47 years in the nation, I cannot always say that I've been absolute, you know, right and exact. But one thing my minister, Robert Muhammad, regional minister of Southwest Region, told me, he said, Master Farad Muhammad, left us one photograph, and that was the photograph of him studying. And in those studies, as you began to submit your will to do the will of Allah, you're going to find that there are going to be times that you're going to be lonely in your submission. But you have to learn a tolerance for that loneliness, because Allah promises friendships in all walks of life. So I just want to encourage you that, you know, sometimes when you get lonely from after the separation from your friends who are, you know, are a negative influence, always revert back to that photo, always revert back to your studies, and you will see the reward of your submission, and it'll make those times and make what you're going through worthwhile. So, you know, always revert back to that. That's a very encouraging process I can bear witness to, you know, because I know I had to live friends and family and associates along to get back to who I know I was. And it was a very lonely time. But in the word of Allah, there's comfort. So Allah is sufficient for you in all circumstances. And I just wanted to add that. For
thank
the brother.
You. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That was very helpful from information I needed, because I got to be honest, I'm not happy until I'm with the nation. I don't care what I'm doing or where I'm at. If I'm not trying to help Mr. Farrakhan save my people, I'm not happy at all. I don't care what I'm doing.
Go ahead, brother.
And I'm just being honest with myself, because I'm at an age now where I need to be honest with myself. You know, so everything that has to do something with the Nation of Islam and Mr. Farrakhan, it just seemed to fire up something like a whole stove in me or something.
Go ahead.
And it makes me want to actually do the foot soldiering. And, you know, I'm intrigued every time when I speak to some elders or I speak to someone who said it from the first, it makes me want to know, how do you not be with the minister now?
Marcus. Okay,
yes,
very
sir.
Good, brother. Thank you for calling in, dear brother.
Thank you. Thank you guys for the information that I needed. May Allah continue to bless all of us. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
salam to her.
We have one more question from area code 813. Area code 813,
yes.
The mic is live. That's
my area. Brother James.
Hey, wa alaykum salam. That's my brother and student in the ministry. Brother, student minister Louis Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Well, alaikum salam, family. I really enjoy this conversation, and so much so I have to admit, brother, now I don't have a question, because I had some questions as Brother James was teaching earlier. But my goodness, man, the spirit of Allah was moving so that he answered all the questions. Is that by the time you got to me? Yeah, because I don't know how many of those are on the line. Please go to NOI.org, the time, of course,
right,
to hear the minister every Saturday. But if you go to that website now, you can pull out four of the articles. The reference materials are there that the minister talked about with the synagogue of Satan pertaining to the Jewish involvement with pornography. He also lists those current and past Jewish members, or so-called Jews, you could say, who are members of the Obama administration. So that gives you an idea, particularly when you read what their titles are and their positions were. You can see their power and influence around him, which, of course, negates anything that even if he wanted to do, he probably would not be able to do. But you'll see why he's doing some of the things that he is doing and their
That's
influence.
Right.
And And also, Brother James, as you were speaking, you know, I thought about that old thing the minister has been doing for probably about 30, 33 years now, when he points out to the fact, as you were explaining, 1913 and the establishment of the IRS and the FBI and the ABL.
Yes, sir.
That on that dollar bill, the minister showed us from the last episode, the dollar bill that had the Star of David on it to let you know who was in power. So I think that goes to that question where somebody says, well, why are they laying dormant? You know, they have so much power. Why don't they come out? You know, it's never Satan's thing to come out. This is why, you know, Brother Sharif is telling us almost every week, he is really hitting us hard with the fact that we have to walk in the right path because the agents are there. They're among us. There was a masjid in the city of Atlanta, I don't know if it was a few years ago, I think, but it came out that 9 out of 10 of the believers who were in that mosque, I won't say believers, of those who attended that mosque were agents. And so this is really speaking to what the last brother brought out, and I'm glad he brought that out, Brother James, because one of my questions to you, and I think you already answered it, was taking in all this information. We know the aim, our first aim is to teach the knowledge of God, the knowledge of self, and the enemy of God and
That's
self,
right.
which we know is Satan or the devil. But once we know that knowledge, then how do we act in our sphere of work that we're in to make sure that we can move ourselves and perhaps our family members and those we love, as the brother stated who just got on, in the right direction? And that is having that whole armor of God, as the minister spoke about, I believe it was 2 episodes ago. So I know those things we need to stay abreast of, but particularly in this hour, we got to know that the enemy is going after us with everything he's got. Look at the scripture. You know, he's not going after the messenger of God. He goes after the children. He
That's
goes
right.
after the ones that are about to be born. So he's coming at ministry. The minister doesn't have anything to worry about, which we know he doesn't. That's why he's out front. So this is why it's incumbent upon us to be out there defending him.
That's
you
right.
know.
Sure.
I think some because that's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. He said, "You mean they attack me and you all don't even defend me?" But I think the key is, as Sinister said, and you have said it and you have showed us today, the key to defending the minister is using his words. You don't have to make
that. That's right. That's right.
Not a thing. And for those who wanted to leave because they felt uncomfortable because of what the minister said, because what you were saying to defend the minister and his saying what Harry Belafonte had said, well, the minister loves Harry Belafonte.
Mm-hmm.
We love our people. The minister loves Obama. He loves our people. That's why he's saying, oh, my brother, please look at who's around you. You know, that's how we defend our people. We have to, like Brother James said, we have to state the truth. And the truth hurts.
Okay.
But we do not say, the minister said, defend him, but don't defend him in, with mean and guile speech. You know, we're not out here trying to fight our people. We'll never get them to do that. And I close with this. Today I had a beautiful experience tonight that I was talking to Brother James earlier today. He knows my work. And I'm in a very small town in Georgia right now doing an interview. And the interview is about students and how they're being transitioned from school into adult life. And as I was talking to a sister, most of the people I've gone to have been Caucasians, but today I went to a sister. And I mean, this sister was having so much difficulty with her teenage son who just turned 18. that she really just poured out to me. She cried to me. She even apologized that she was crying to me. And I said, no, sister, God sent me here for some reason. I knocked on your door. You felt comfortable to say what you said to me. And she was just so overwhelmed about our exchange, and I left her with the final call that talks about the value of mothers. And she says, I'm going to read this. That's all we got to do. So it's done. If we show the spirit of Allah to our people, we don't have to worry about what to say, when to say it. I've been listening to Brother James for 13, 14 years now, and I tell you, when that brother speaks, you can bank. If we were in the Vegas, you can bank on the fact that he's going to give you what Minister Farrakhan says, and that's what makes him successful. So I enjoyed this. God, thank you all. And may Allah
thank you, brother.
To every one of you with the greeting words of peace. Ashwam Lake.
Walaykum salam. All praise is due to Allah. That's my brother, Louis Muhammad, longtime brother and friend and companion in this great work.
All praise is due to Allah.
All praise is due to Allah.
If there are no more questions, I would actually, if it is all right, give the reins back over to Sister Aziza. If you're still there.
Brother, let me say this, Brother Eddie. You may not have been under the direct control of her hand, but let me tell you something. You certainly were within the purview of her power.
Yes, sir. You know what? She called me and asked me to do it. I really was like, I've grown to know her and, of course, love her as a sister.
Yes.
And believe me, it was like being under the tutorship of my own mother. So I was like, let me not mess up here. But
thank you. You're doing a wonderful job, Brother Eddie.
Yes, sir.
That's a good work, Brother.
And you did do a wonderful job, Brother Eddie, and of course I knew that you would. And so I am so confident in you, and I want you to have that confidence in yourself, not just on this show, but throughout your life, because you are a tremendous student yourself of these teachings. And so I want to give everybody that I can an opportunity to show and display their talent. So, brother, you know, the honor is actually mine, you know, that I'm so honored that I can have you sit in my seat, so to speak. And I don't mind turning over my seat. I tell you, I'm not greedy. You know, I'm not spotlight hungry. I love to see the young people come out and do what they do. So, brother, all praise is due to Allah, and I thank you so very much. But I am not going to impede on your time. It's your time. Do your thing.
Well,
do your thing, Brother Eddie.
Yes, ma'am. We have 15 minutes left, and I'm very we had people call in and talk with us. I wanted to say to all of that, and really from a personal note, as I'm trying to grow and in the ministry and grow in the nation and grow to be used by Almighty God Allah, I take the words of Minister Nuri in Indianapolis. He said, I just want to be cleaned up, sharpened up, shaped up, to be used by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the best way possible. And that is all.
That's right.
Every day to uphold the guys and the standard. Like the other brother who called in, I'm just struggling to hold up the guys and the standard that I may be an example, not just in my talk, but in my activity. And I just pray Allah every day to hold and guide us all in a time that's coming. When you listen to Minister Farrakhan doing this and you hear us coming together like this over really the largest medium in the world, the social media, the internet, and taking you know, helping Minister Farrakhan make the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's Great Commission known. We're really taking on more than we really realize. But
yes, sir.
Jesus said, "My yoke is light." You know, so we're being carried on the back of Minister Farrakhan, and it's being made easy for us. Really guiding us across the troubled water. He's getting his feet wet for us. So a couple of hours out of our night to spread the word and discuss the word with all those who may hear is nothing that is outside of our grasp. It is nothing too much to ask for us to do. As I try to also take on more and help, this is what we have to do. We have to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I don't have a lot, but I have and I have years to give, and we all have years to give. I heard Minister Farrakhan say, and actually Minister James reminded me of it, 1997, David Tony, he said that it's not your age, but it's your spirit. He said in so many words. He said, "I'm an old man, but I am young. It is, be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as a man thinketh, so is he." So as long as we are thinking, the high frequency of thought that comes from the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we will continue to shine and be made new. And I wanted to really just share that with us, as and it is an honor to hear and talk and just fellowship, and it really relieves my day. You know, I'm not fully capable at working for self right now. I'm working on this. I work on the enemy's jobs, and it bears down on you. But to hear and to continue to push this mission and be able to talk to you is so great. It really helps me, help me develop also my skills and in doing this. And I really wanted to just take this time for, if you, Brother James, would give us just some closing remarks and some, and really for myself as well, just some energy and some motivation here in the next few minutes, and what you have on your heart to say to us.
Well, thank
praise
you, dear brother.
Allah. That was beautiful.
Yes, sir. Thank you, and all praise is due to Allah. And in my closing remarks, in the time that remains, I'd like to talk of something of this, these charges that are hurled and have been hurled at the minister of hatred and anti-Semitism. As we know, that the word or the prefix anti means against, and Semitism as it is defined, or Semitic as it is defined in the dictionary, it references those who are from that eastern area of the world and speak the Semitic language, such as Arabic. That, as the minister said, is a rather deceptive definition. But this is the definition, or rather the charge, that they hurl against anyone that criticizes them, that they are anti-Semitic. And what I would like to do, in the way, not that he needs exoneration, but in the way of exoneration of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, of the charges of anti-Semitism, I'd like all of us to listen to an interview conducted by one Amy Goodman, who hosts a show on talk radio entitled Democracy Now! And in a March 15, 2011 interview with a former Israeli minister by the name of Shulamit Aloni, there is much that is revealed about this charge that they are so loving of hurling at anyone that criticizes Jews and the behavior or misbehavior of the people in Israel. So, Brother Kareem, can you cue that tape up?
Yes,
sir. These are the words, again, of a former minister of Israel.
Yes, sir. Coming up right now.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I'm working on a video about how extreme mainstream media is, including the tricks used when covering key domestic issues like healthcare. But this video is a response to the trick repeatedly used against this channel in channel comments. It's the standard tactic of calling someone anti-Semitic, and it's used to sabotage anyone who speaks out against the U.S. government policy of supporting immoral and illegal Israeli policies which violate basic human rights. And as you can see, this person suggests using a new word for the same old trick. Amy Goodman interviews a former Israeli minister, and she helps expose this trick used against dissidents, the defamation tactic of calling someone anti-Semitic.
Yours is a voice of criticism we don't often hear in the United States. Often when there is dissent expressed in the United States against policies of the Israeli government, people here are called anti-Semitic. What is your response to that as an Israeli Jew?
Well, it's a trick. We always use it. When from Europe somebody is criticizing Israel, then we bring up the Holocaust. When in this country people are criticizing Israel, then they are anti-Semitic. And the organization is strong and has a lot of money. And the ties between Israel and the American Jewish establishment are very strong, and they are strong in this country. As you know, they have power, which it's okay, they are talented people, and they have power, money, and media, and other things. And their attitude is Israel, my country, right or wrong, the identification. And they are not ready to hear criticism, and it's very easy to blame people who criticize certain acts of the Israeli government as anti-Semitic, and to bring up the Holocaust and the suffering of the Jewish people, and that justifies everything we do to the Palestinians.
I like that finish, dear brother. But that's the truth of the matter. This is the undeniable, irrefutable, and inarguable reality of the trick that they employ, not only against the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, but there is a long list of black leaders and people, both black and white, who have disagreed with Israel or criticize acts on behalf of the Israeli government that are blamed or labeled anti-Semitic. So you heard it from for yourself, not from Farrakhan, not from Brother James, but you heard it from one of their own. It's a trick. And they use it all the time. And so, dear family, as we close this session, I pray to Allah that all of us were edified and inspired to stand up on behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the truth that he is trumpeting on the airways everywhere he goes. As one brother said, he's outworking all of us. He certainly is. He is tireless. He is uncompromising. He is bold in his exposure of this man of sin, the Satan himself. We can do no less. Thank you for listening. May Allah again bless us with the light of understanding as I greet all of you in peace. Assalamu alaikum. And now I want to turn the show off, show over to Sister Queen Aziza Muhammad for announcement. You have the mic, Queen.
Assalamu alaikum, family. Yes, alaikum, sir. Salam. Okay. So, is Brother Maurice still on the phone? Because I know he has a couple of things coming up, and we always want to show our support. I know he's speaking Sunday, but I want to find out, Brother Maurice, do you have any up-and-coming events that we need to be aware of so that we can come out and support you as well?
Oh, praise be to Allah. Yes, ma'am. I'll be speaking Sunday for the families that are incarcerated.
Yes, sir.
And I'll be doing that. I got to get that information. I don't have that with me. But Friday,
I have
I'll
it,
be...
Brother Maurice. Brother Shakir, excuse me for interrupting you, dear brother. But Brother Shakir texted me with the message, brother. Can I give it to you and to others?
Yes, sir, please.
Yes, sir. This is a conference call that's going to be held June 2nd. Let me make sure I have that. The conference number is 605-475-4700 or 4700. The PIN code is 101-6738. Once again, that's 605-475-4700. The PIN code again is 101-6738. And let me get you the time. The time is 7:30. Yes, 7:30 Central Time, which would make it 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. And the teleconference theme is entitled The Caged Thought. It'll be hosted by our brother Shakir, and as Brother Maurice was going to announce, he'll be tearing it up. And I'll be tuning in, brother. I love to listen to you. So thank you for allowing me to help you with that announcement, brother. Thank you. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir.
Brother.
Thank
Maurice.
You, brother. Thank you. And sister, did we get confirmation on the debate for Mike? Is he going to show up or not?
Well, let me just explain to the listening audience. There was a debate that we had agreed upon the date being June the 6th between a young man named Mike Whittle versus student minister James Muhammad. Of course, Mike Whittle is one who is opposed of Minister Farrakhan, who has stated various comments about him, and one being that he has deviated from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. However, I have yet to confirm Mike Whittle. I am going to reach out to him once more to see if he will give us a confirmation for that show that will be broadcast this coming Thursday right here at 8 p.m. Central. If Brother Whittle chooses not to show up for the debate, we will still go on and we will still defend the minister, because Mike Whittle is so small on the totem pole. There are so many others who are coming out against the minister. This is every day. So we're in a forward going process of defending the minister anytime, anywhere that we can. And so whether Mike Whittle shows up or not, we will still be there in full force defending the minister against him and others like him, Marvin, Royale, Silas, and even unfortunately, even some of those in the ranks. And I'm not going to call their name. But we're going to get a clear picture in a minute. So we'll still be there Thursday at 8 o'clock, brother, regardless.
Yes,
ma'am.
Okay. And so, I'm sorry. And then tomorrow, join us for Young, Gifted, and Black, where we have Poetry in Motion. We have Elder Wayne Gooden as well as Kurt McMaster. You don't want to miss this wonderful, authentic, original poetry readings from different people all over the country. On Monday, Brother Kareem is going to bring back Conscious Black Nation. I don't know what the topic is. We might better ask him why he's here. Brother Kareem?
He's going to be busting his. No, excuse me. I'm sorry. I got that wrong. I have a topic. I have a topic. However, I just don't have a title for it.
I would like to share very quickly. Sunday, June 2nd at 6 p.m., 5939 Good Fellow here in St. Louis, Missouri. Come out and hear the messenger of Allah for yourself, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
All praise is due to Allah.
All praise is due to Allah.
St. Louis is in for a magnificent treat,
most definitely. Right.
And what time will he be speaking, brother?
The minister starts speaking at 6 p.m. The doors open at 5.
All praise is due to Allah. Okay, St. Louisians, y'all get to the mosque as soon as possible. Okay, and on Sunday, join us for No Romance Without Finance with Brother Vernon. Monday with Brother Kareem, Conscious Black Nation. Tuesday with Brother Jahar out on the front line with the Food of Islam, which may be a rebroadcast because if I'm not mistaken, that is the first Tuesday. So we might have a believers meeting. Not sure, but either way, something will be on. On Wednesday, join DJ Black Caesar and Friends. Thursday, we will be right here with Student Minister James Muhammad and whosoever. And then,
right,
of course, Driver. Then join us again next Friday for study group with Student Minister James, and he's going to discuss the time and what must be done, part 21, as well as the continuation of defending the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So
That's right. We
have it, y'all, for the week.
That's right.
Off to Allah.
Yes, sir. Okay, and I want to thank all of you, Brother Maurice and Brother Archis, who called in, all of the people who called in. I'm sorry I was late, but what I heard was magnificent. And, of course, I'm going to go back and do the replay. Thank you, Brother Kareem, for always, always, always having my back and being there. Brother Eddie, I got to have you back, brother. We gonna mold you and shape you. We gonna do whatever we gotta do to encourage you to get up on that rostrum one day. So you know,
that's
I'm your
right.
big sister. I'm gonna have my foot on your neck every time you turn around. So I want you to come out to the forefront, and brother Maurice, you know I got your back, and you know I got your back always. So thank you, Student Minister James, for always such a magnificent delivery. Always clear and concise information, and just your wonderful, wonderful spirit, your wisdom, and your encouragement, and your brotherhood, and your friendship. Love you so much. Thank you so much. So
love you,
I think
too,
I said
sis.
Enough for the night.
All praise to
All right. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam.